Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading John's Christmas story. Most of us associate Christmas story with the story that we heard here last night from the Gospel of Luke about Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and the babe Jesus. Well, the Gospel of John was written a little bit later in the development of the New Testament. And by the time the Gospel of John came along, the writer was trying to explain or present this idea of God with us using language of the culture in which they lived, which was a Hellenistic Greek culture. And so we have this passage that's filled with imagery that comes from that Hellenistic influence in our faith. And the word that you will be hearing is actually the Greek word logos. And logos was a Greek philosophical and spiritual concept meaning the essence of all existence. So keep that in mind as we hear these words from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Well, what we're going to do this morning is very informal. We don't have a sermon per se. We are going to proclaim the Word within the congregation. Just as we read in the scripture there in the Gospel of John, it tells us right there at the end, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I think that Jesus tells us all through the Gospels, he takes that verb and he puts it in the present tense. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Jesus is continually telling us in the Scriptures, I am with you. The Spirit is in you. The Word is among us in our flesh. Who's got some music playing? Yeah. Yeah, somebody's got a nice ringtone. So So what we're going to do is we're going to share our own stories and we're going to sing some carols. So I want you to be thinking of a Christmas story. Now, this doesn't have to be about Scripture. It doesn't have to be out of the Bible. It doesn't have to be all religious. If you've got a special Christmas memory that you can share, be thinking of that, okay? I'll start us off with one of mine. And I was telling my wife Peg the other day, this is the second Christmas that I've had without my brother. My brother was 3 years older than me. We were very close growing up. And one thing we used to do when I was probably I was just out of college. My brother was just out of the service. He had served in Vietnam. We were both single. We always did our Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. Because we had tried several times before, but just never. We always got involved in something else and just never got anything done. So we'd go out on Christmas Eve and buy the most outrageous toys we could find for all our nieces and nephews. But one thing we always did on Christmas Eve that night is we would go around and play Santa Claus for some of our relatives that lived in our little town and for our own family. And believe it or not, I was the one that was playing Santa Claus. I was much, much thinner then. And so I needed several pillows to fill out this Santa Claus suit, and we would go, we would show up for all of our nieces and nephews, and then we would go visit some aunts and uncles and their family. We had such a good time playing Santa Claus, and we did it a little bit too long, because it got to the point where my brother would go into the house and say, "I think Santa Claus is here." And all our nieces and nephews would roll their eyes and go, "Uncle Andy's out in the yard again." So we finally gave it up. But you know what? Years later, my brother turned into Santa Claus. Literally. His girth became much bigger. He had long shoulder-length hair and a full beard that came down onto his chest, both of which turned white. And he became Santa Claus in our little town. He played Santa Claus at so many different Christmas parties and functions, and then I would drive him around, and he would play Santa Claus for different people. One summer, he was on vacation. He and his wife were out in California, and he was laying by a swimming pool. And because of the way he looked, whenever he went in public, no matter where they were, little kids were drawn to him. They would be out eating at a restaurant, and he would look down, and little kids would just be staring up at him. And he always made sure that he made eye contact with parents, just to make sure that they knew that they're... that their child was there and was safe but this one time he's in California and he's laying by the swimming pool sunbathing, and he wakes up. He's fallen asleep and he wakes up, and this little kid's face is right here, just staring at him. And so he immediately sort of sits up and looks around and he makes eye contact with his child's parents, who are watching the child very closely. make sure that they know. And he looks at that little child and he says, "Even Santa Claus needs a vacation." And the kid turned and ran away. So that's one of my stories about spreading some Christmas joy with my brother. Who's got a Christmas carol you want to sing? Christmas carol time. We're going to have story carol, okay? Who's got a request? Christmas carol. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming. Oh, I forgot to mention, it needs to be in our hymnal, okay? Cheryl's pretty good. She may be able to play some things by ear, but we do prefer that it be in our hymnal. What number is it? Yeah, have the number ready too, okay? 129 in the red book. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming. And we're only going to sing one verse of these, so we can get as many in as we can, okay? Okay, I saw a hand up here. Carolyn, I'm bringing you a microphone. If you got a story for us, there you go. Yeah.
Good morning. Okay, let's see. 2 days ago, I believe it was, I was talking on my telephone in Michael's to my sister, and someone tapped me on the shoulder, and it was my pastor. And it was just such joy to see him. And I told my sister, I have to get off the phone because my pastor's here and I have to give him a hug. And he told me to continue talking. And I did just a little bit. And he was in doing something. The next day, I was in Publix and going in. And I saw another familiar face. And it was the pastor's wife, Peg. It was the same day. And I saw the pastor in Michael's today, and she says, that's weird. Why would he be in Michael's? So she shared the gift that she was giving him for Christmas, and it was a very simple gift. And it was just very practical, down to earth. Another lesson there to learn. And this morning when she saw me, she said, oh, I know why he was in Michael's. He was making a keychain, which he put the picture of my grandson in the keychain. And the Christmas present that he was giving to her. So it just made, it's just the basic things in life that are so important. And I'm here today standing before you without my family because they got so much overwhelming that they couldn't even dress to come to church. So next year, we need to practice what is most important. We're going to take a picture of all of us under the Christmas tree with no presents and say, this is what Christmas is all about, family coming together, because they get too much and it's overwhelming to them. They can't even enjoy it. But the gifts that they got and gave to each other, they will enjoy immensely. So.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn. And it was good to see you at Michael's. And I got a 12-pack of diet ginger ale. Yeah. We give very practical gifts because we really have all we need. Okay, what's our next carol? 157. Thank you for that one. That's one of my favorites for sure. Okay, do we have another story? Someone? Yes? Okay, I'm coming back with the microphone. How many of you remember the Phil Donahue show?
I've got to warn you, I'm a storyteller.
Okay, all right, hold that mic close all to your right. mouth, okay?
As a child, I grew up in West Virginia, and I was very blessed because my family had a lot of tradition, and I want to share just a little bit about Christmas at my house when I was a kid. It began Christmas Eve, and my father would fix what he called his fruit salad. And what it was a conglomeration of every type of fruit that you could imagine. And he would put it into a large crock. And he set the crock outside because the next morning he would chip away the ice, and that was part of our breakfast for Christmas morning. We had oyster stew, and then my sister and I and my brother, we all got new pajamas. And as we were going up the stairs to say goodnight to everyone, we would hang our stockings. There was something odd, though. The outside of our house was decorated, and it was decorated beautifully. And Santa Claus was up on top of the roof. But within the house, there was nothing. There were no decorations. There was no tree. There was no packages. And so when we went to bed, we knew that Santa Claus was coming, and he would provide everything. So in the morning, my sister had always set at least 3 alarms. And I don't think my parents ever went to bed. But we finally got to come downstairs. But there was a whole rigmarole that we had to go through in order just to go downstairs. First, we woke our parents. And my father would go downstairs, and he would light the fire and light the tree. And my mother would go make the coffee. And then we were allowed to descend the stairs and come down. And to our right was a room that was filled full of toys, every kind of toy that you could imagine. And there was a tree. And the tree was at least 9 feet tall. And it had every decoration you can imagine. The house was strewn with all kinds of beautiful flowers and wreaths. And it was a sight to behold. There were actually Christmases where people would come out to my home to watch us kids open our gifts. Those are some of the memories that helped me get through times where I don't have any of my family around. And so these memories are really precious. And I thought maybe you'd like to hear about them.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. We had some oyster stew for dinner last night. Yeah. We had oyster stew for dinner last night. Okay, what's our next carol? 130. You guys are getting good at this. 134. Okay, does somebody have a story you want to share?
David.
Oh, Dave, way our sound engineer, way in the back. You got a microphone back there, Dave? All right.
I was talking to Kathy and Andy about this earlier this morning.
So my wife asked my daughter, because she's 9 years old, she said, "So do you believe in Santa Claus?" And she said, "Well, a lot of people at school don't." I said, "Okay, but what do you believe?" And she said, "Well, I think it's a choice." This is a 9-year-old, by the way. She said, "I think it's a choice." And I said, "Okay, well, what's your choice?" And she said, "Well, I think it's okay if some people believe and if they don't. But at the end of the day, I figured it doesn't hurt." So that's my story. But on top of that, real quick, I'm letting you know that I'm here at church today. And my lazy daughter got up at 10:30. So she's sitting in front of a Christmas tree with a bunch of presents still wrapped, freaking out. So that's my story. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. When Dave told me that story, I said, "She's going to make a good theologian." What's our next carol? Yes. Okay, it's not in the hymn book, but you wanted to, have you cleared this with Cheryl? Okay. The Holly and the Ivy, okay. Okay, you know the words, right? Okay, I'm gonna let you have a microphone so that we can hear those words clearly. And if you know, sing along. Yeah. Thank you, Bobby. Wonderful. Yes. So we're counting that as a carol. Who has a story? Okay, Bill. I'm going to pass this back to you. There you go.
I'd like to tell you a story about, it reminded me when you were talking about your story of Christmas, when during the year, I mean, Chris, we always anticipated Christmas. And up until Christmas Eve, there was nothing in the house. There was nothing. And when we came down on Christmas Day, we called it a Christmas garden. It was little houses and trains. And all of this was set on this platform that was about this high. And then there was a Christmas tree up on there. And there was always at least two trains going around this. And I never know where this stuff came from for years. But it would always appear. And then I told Kathy as we celebrate Christmas that I always remembered those trains going around the garden like that. And one year, we were getting the kids ready, getting all the stuff ready for the kids. We were up till, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We were putting stuff together and trying to get, and for some reason, she kept asking me, "Aren't you tired? Don't you want to go to bed? We can finish this." And I'm going, "No, I'm okay." So about 2 o'clock in the morning, I just kind of tuckered out, and I went to sleep. And I wake up the next morning, and we're at her parents' house. And I go down to the Christmas tree, and there's a train running around the Christmas tree. They had put this train together for me. So that is a blessed time and a time I always remember. And it takes me back to when I was a little kid and those trains were going around the tree. So.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Wonderful. What's the next carol? 151.
Three kings of
okay, yes. Peg, story? Okay.
There you go. I think a lot of you know that our church does a ministry to Pinellas Hope. And yesterday, Saturday, was our second, or our fourth, we do the second and fourth Saturdays, we take breakfast. And we've been planning for weeks now for a kind of a special event since it was Christmas Eve, and we baked casseroles instead of our usual thing, and we stuffed a whole bunch of stockings with things that homeless people need. It had socks and razors and deodorant and a flashlight and some candy and what else? Toothpaste. We had,
and a Slim Jim.
Slim Jims, things they really need, you know. And what? Oh, and a coffee cup, yep. And it had cards that the preschoolers had colored and made and put in there. So I want to tell you two things about yesterday that were just really heartwarming to me. One of the things that we did was we passed out little, like, theater tickets for everybody that came through the food line so that when they sat down at their tables, then some of the children that were there would take a gift over to them and collect their ticket. And that was to be sure everybody got at least one before we were through. It was my job yesterday to hand out the tickets as they were coming through, and I was handing them out and giving them instructions, and Kathy was counting them, and they would go down the food line and get lots and lots of food and go to their tables. And it was a tough morning. I mean, for some of them, you could tell it was hard that this is where they were on Christmas morning. And you would always say Merry Christmas, you know, and you know, kind, you know, words as much as possible. And I got to a point where there's this one woman who was just on the edge of distraught. I mean, you could just see it in her face. You could see tears kind of welling up in her face. And you know, I just reached over and patted her on the back and I said, "Are you okay?" And you know, the tears started flowing, and so I just reached around and hugged her, and I said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And they went on, and they got their food, and they went through the line, and we had, what, 120-some people fed, and we fed them lots, so there weren't a lot of seconds this time, but by the time we could announce seconds, a few people started coming up and refilling plates, and this woman came back, and I said, "Do you need some seconds? Do you want some seconds?" And she kind of did this. She goes, "But I want a second on the hug." And it made me realize how important it is that we touch these lives in this way. And the hug was so much more to her, so much more nourishing. So hug each other. Let's hug the world. Let's take this light into the world. And it was such a privilege to be a part of that. The other thing I want to say, and we heard from many of them, as they opened the stockings and read the cards that the preschoolers made, there were so many tears. It was like many of them said, "This reminds me of my family or my grandchildren. I'm sorry I can't be with them, but what a nice thing for your church to have shared these cards." So, Merry Christmas from all of us to all of them.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Okay, what's our next carol? 119. I'm going to wrap us up here. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. And remember that this whole idea, this whole reality of the Word being flesh among us, Christ is present in our entire lives. We hear this expression around this time of year, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And we need to put Christ back in Christmas. You know what? Christ never left Christmas. Christ never leaves us anytime, anywhere. We don't have to put Christ back into anything because the Spirit of Christ permeates this whole creation from the very beginning. That's what that Gospel of John tells us. I'm going to close with a poem that I wrote many years ago about our daughter's first Christmas. Our daughter, who has our 2-year-old grandson now. Her first Christmas morning, 7 months old, with a 3-toothed grin, a confident crawl, a wobbly stance, a wisp of light brown hair, a twinkle in her eye that sees the wonder in life, a tree in the house, lights, jeweled ornaments, colorful packages, the smell of coffee and pastry, laughter. Mama and Papa home from work, sitting on the floor in their pajamas. Her first Christmas morning, a happy day, a birthday, a holy day. Christmas was his favorite day. Her grandfather, the one she will never meet. His last Christmas on earth was 6 years before. He loved babies more than he loved Christmas. The two together brought a twinkle to his eyes and laughter that filled the air. He had 7 babies of his own. Some say they can't remember him without a laughing child bouncing on his knee. Her first Christmas morning, he should be here. Her first Christmas morning, a white Christmas. Unexpected, sneaking in during the quiet of early morning to blanket the earth and make it clean, pure, innocent. Just like the baby in a bed of straw, just like the baby on a living room floor. Her first Christmas, white, innocent, pure. He loved birds, her grandfather, the one she will never meet. He fed them every winter, watched through the window as they played on the feeders he had carefully crafted himself. He knew them all by name. His favorite was the cardinal, beautiful, red, majestic. Sitting by the window, a baby in arms, watching a beautiful red bird in the pure white snow, the twinkle, the wonder in both their eyes. Her first Christmas morning, he should be here. Her first Christmas morning, she sits on the floor in a mountain of wrapping paper, laughing, playing. Papa looks out the window at a bird feeder built by the loving hands of his wife's father. Not long ago, Papa found the old feeder in the basement, dusty, dirty, paint peeling. He felt sad for having let it reach such disrepair, but now it hangs again, a new coat of paint, bright, shining, red, white, and blue, the colors selected by a man who fought to defend them four times. The one who should be here, her grandfather, the colors of a country he loved. Her first Christmas morning, 7 months old, with a three-toothed grin, a confident crawl, a wobbly stance, a wisp of light brown hair, a twinkle in her eye that sees the wonder in life, a tree in the house, light, jeweled ornaments, colorful packages, the smell of coffee and pastry, laughter, Mama and Papa, home from work, sitting on the floor in their pajamas, a fresh snow on the ground, a red, white, and blue bird feeder in the tree, and quietly perched on the feeder, a visitor. Beautiful, majestic, red. Her first Christmas morning. Maybe he is there. The Word is flesh and dwells among us. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. My friends, remember that Christ dwells among us and within us. There's a big fancy theological word for that. It's called incarnation. An incarnation is the presence of God in the world. And the Gospel of John tells us that that takes place at the very beginning. God has always, is, and will always be present throughout all of creation, and especially within us as the Spirit of Christ, the child of Bethlehem, lives in each and every one of us, and in our stories, and in our memories, and in our interactions with each other. Merry Christmas. Amen.